Chapter 58. 70 miles away, Captain Toshio Yubari, a solid, weather-worn man in the prime of his early 40s, sat erect in a bridge chair, intent on the small boat traffic that dotted the water ahead. The tide was running home toward the sea, and the 665-foot container ship Hanjo Maru loafed along at a steady 15 knots. Yubari had decided to wait and ring for 20 knots once the ship had rounded Cape Breton Island. The Hanjo Maru had carried 400 new electric minicars from Kobe, Japan, and was making the return voyage with a cargo of newsprint paper from the great pulp mills of Quebec. The massive rolls that filled the containers were far heavier per unit volume than the small cars, and the hull rode low in the water, a scant 3 inches above the waterline. First Officer Shigeharu Sakai stepped from the wheelhouse and stood beside the captain. He stifled a yawn and rubbed his reddened eyes. "Fun night ashore?" Yubari asked, smiling. Sakai mumbled an unintelligible reply and changed the subject. "Lucky we didn't cast off on a Sunday," he said, nodding at a fleet of sailing sloops that were racing around a buoyed course about a mile off their port bow. "Yes, I'm told the traffic is so heavy on weekends you can almost walk across the river on the yachts." "Shall I take the bridge, Captain, while you enjoy a noonday meal?" "Thank you," replied Yubari, keeping his gaze straight ahead, "but I prefer to remain until we reach the Gulf. You might ask the steward, though, to bring me a bowl of noodles with duck and a beer." Sakai started to comply and then stopped in mid-turn, pointing down the river. "There comes a brave soul, or a very reckless one." Yubari had already spotted the hydroplane and stared with the fascination men have with high speed. "He must be doing close to 90 knots. If he hits one of those sloops, there won't be enough left to make a pair of chopsticks." Yubari came to his feet. "The fool is heading straight for them." The hydroplane charged into the masked sloops like a coyote through a flock of chickens. The skippers wildly slewed their boats in all directions, losing the wind, full sails suddenly collapsing and flapping uncontrollably. The inevitable occurred as the hydroplane slashed across the bow of one yacht, tearing away its bowsprit and losing a windshield in the bargain. Then it was free, leaving the fleet scattered and rolling heavily in its whipping wake. Yubari and Sakai were entranced by the mad antics of the hydroplane as it made a sweeping curve and set a course for the Hanjo Maru. The small darting craft was close enough now so they could make out a form hunched over the wheel in the cockpit. Suddenly it became obvious to them that the driver had been injured when the sloop's bowsprit swept away the windshield. There was no time for shouted commands or warning blasts from the horn. No time for Yubari and Sakai to do anything but stand in frozen impotence like pedestrians on a street corner, witnessing an accident in the making and helpless to prevent it. They instinctively ducked as the hydroplane crashed square into the Hanjo Maru's port beam and erupted in an instantaneous, blinding sheet of gasoline flames. The engine flew from its mountings high into the air end over end before smashing onto the forecastle. Scattered bits of fiery debris splattered the ship like shrapnel from a bomb. Several of the wheelhouse windows were broken in. Things fell out of the sky for several seconds, raining about the ship and splashing in the river. Miraculously, no one was hurt on board the container ship. Yubari ordered all stop on the engines. A boat was lowered to search the area astern, where oil was drifting up from the bottom and spreading on the low swells. All that was found of the hydroplane's driver was a charred leather jacket and a pair of broken plastic goggles.